Okay, we are back on the record. The next item on the agenda is proposed initiative 2015-2016, number 98, primary elections. And if counsel for the proponent could introduce yourself for the record and also indicate whether your proponents are present.
Good morning. Jason Dunn, Brownstein Hyatt, on behalf of proponents Kelly Bruff and Joe Blake, who are both here today.
And can you just start by telling us what the single subject of your measure is?
Sure. I'll try and reattach this microphone as I do. The single subject is simply to amend the primary election process in Colorado.
All right. Is there anybody who's here signed up to speak on this issue? Nope. All right. Questions from the board?
I have some questions, but not relating to single subject.
Okay. I had one, and that was, and I think I know why you did it, but I guess I just like something on the record about this sort of, I'll call it opt-out provision. And why it is necessarily connected to the rest of your initiative.
Sure. So, as I said, the subject of the measure is, of course, to amend the primary election process. In doing our due diligence on open primary systems around the country and looking at some of the legal issues that arise in those and ensuring that this proposal is constitutional under the First Amendment, we felt it necessary to ensure that political parties are given the option, if they meet certain specific requirements, to be able to elect their candidates for the general election without allowing unaffiliated voters to participate. And so using a model that's been used elsewhere, we provided the opt-out provision to allow them to do it by assembly or convention.
And it doesn't necessarily make me believe that there are two subjects, but I am concerned, and I guess I'm shadowing maybe forward a little to your foreshadowing to your draft, but I am concerned that that is the kind of provision that, if it's not specifically called out, could certainly be seen as surreptitious in that this whole proposal is to be to open up primaries. And the fact is that putting this in there could have the inopposite effect of closing it down so there was no primary. And so that's my concern with that provision. And again, I understand why you did it, and you stated the reason that I believe it is necessarily connected, which is why I don't think it's two subjects. But I am concerned about that particular provision.
So. Yeah, I'll respond to that, not so much as a jurisdictional response, but we think it's a very minor provision. Experience in looking around the country is that I'm unaware of any jurisdictions actually elected to use that type of provision. It's merely a constitutional safety valve, and we think that given that using the 75% vote requirement for the state central committee, that that it will be unlikely but not impossible that will be taken advantage of by the parties, and that the net result of this measure will be to open up primaries to unaffiliated voters.
And just since you brought it up, I have the same concern, not so much in terms of that your measure doesn't have a single subject, but what that single subject is. Because of those provisions, both in terms of the majority political party opt-out, as well as the provision that you added for the minority political parties. And so in terms of a discussion of what the single subject is, but just so you know, because these processes right now, a major political party does not have the ability to select a candidate for a general election ballot by assembly or convention, correct?
That's true.
So you're creating a new possible process?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Can you speak to, in Section 7, the what I believe Sharon was referring to about the minor political party and its ability to choose to prohibit unaffiliated electors from voting and tie that into your single subject.
Sure. So typically right now, although not exclusively, minor parties do not use the primary election method, although some do. I think the Libertarian Party uses it, but most do not. And you have a much smaller pool of voters who participate in that process. And we wanted to ensure, again, from a constitutional perspective, that minor parties could not raise a constitutional challenge if they were had to allow unaffiliated voters, because as compared to a major political party in the proportion that unaffiliated voters might represent in that election, the minor political parties had the option to exclude those because the unaffiliated voters might be a significant portion of their voting pool in their elections if that played out, if such a scenario, you know, were to play out.
Okay. Any other questions?
No. So I would go ahead and move that we find that proposed initiative 2015-16 number 98 constitutes a single subject and that we proceed to set a title.
Sorry, did we ask if anyone else?
We did.
Okay. Then I'll second the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That takes us to the staff draft. And I have your...
Or the proponent's draft.
Yeah. I was going to start with the staff draft. I mean, I think as I indicated earlier, I would have an issue with not including that language and possibility, and even though I understand what you're saying, that, you know, you've looked around other states and that this hasn't happened, but, you know, hypothetically, if you had a very popular candidate who was not a favorite of the establishment.
That would never happen.
Yeah. this could provide an opportunity for, you know, people who are on the Central Committee that maybe would be considered that right. establishment to do an end run around the primary process. And I don't think it's that far-fetched. And it's certainly in the text of the measure, and I think it needs to be stated in the question as a effect.
Well, you know, my only response would be that, and you guys know this as well as I do, that the title need not convey every aspect of the measure or every possible effect of the measure or every scenario that might play out. And I think the point is of the title is to convey to voters what the primary purpose of the measure is. And of course, that's to allow unaffiliated voters to participate in the primary process. And I think it arguably could lead to some voter confusion if they say, well, wait a minute, are we? They don't understand, you know, the dynamic of what the opt-out would mean in practice, and that it could actually confuse them as to what the primary purpose of the measure is and how it would affect the primary elections.
And I agree with that, but I think the problem is that not mentioning it and then having it happen is, I think, exactly what the court and what the statutes are guarding against in terms of not sort of hiding these things that, you know, this sort of surreptitious in the coils type of language, that if you don't call it out and it happens, then certainly I think it would have been incumbent on us to notify people, because, you know, as I said, it has the exact opposite effect, which is to close down the selection of candidates beyond even just affiliated voters. But now we would be taking it, the selection of candidates, out of the hands of, you know, a million and putting it in the hands of a couple hundred. So, I understand your argument. I just don't think I can get there with the language of the measure. So.
And I agree. I don't think that it's accurate to say that the single subject is primary elections. I think
it's the selection of candidates or something like that.
And so I would suggest we start with the staff draft.
Sure.
Okay. In terms of the staff draft, I don't know whether Mr. Dunn had any comments. You want to take his
Yeah, do you have comments beyond just what you've offered in your draft?
I do. I have some more substantive ones later, but maybe it's easier to go line by line. I think the single subject clause can read more simply. A change to Colorado revised statutes concerning primary elections and in connection therewith. I think the process for conducting is unnecessary. We can just say primary elections. And then to select candidates representing political parties on the general election ballot, I think voters know that that's what primary elections do, and therefore that language is unnecessary.
Okay. I guess my direction is going to be exactly opposite Mr. Dunn's suggestion, because I don't think the reference to primary elections is accurate. I think it's the process of selecting candidates representing political parties in a general election ballot, because you're creating the possibility of other processes being used instead of a primary election. I don't think to have that reference is accurate, and so I would suggest removing it so that the single subject statement read something along the lines of concerning the process of selecting candidates representing political parties on a general election ballot.
And I agree, that is the subject.
I agree as well.
Okay, so I would move those changes as they appear on lines 1 and 2.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The only other suggestion I would have on that now, on the new line to representing major political parties.
What about your minor political party provisions?
Well, it goes back to the argument that, which is later in the title, but I would argue that the minor political party provision at the end on lines 9, 10, 11, is unnecessary for the title because it's not a major feature of the measure.
Well, I think if we put in major political parties, then maybe I might buy getting rid of 9, 10, 11.
Say that again?
If we put in major political parties up top, then maybe that takes care of 9, 10, and 11.
Is the thought being that the minor political party section is intended to leave the rules as they are for minor political parties?
I think practically speaking, yes, because the minor political parties don't generally currently take advantage of the primary system.
And they're not going to be included on this ballot, right? Even if they did. Like if a minor political party, let's say the Green Party wanted to run a primary, they're still not going to make it onto this ballot that we're describing for unaffiliated voters. Or are they?
If they elect to have a primary.
We're only creating a Democratic and Republican.
Yeah, so the answer is no.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So, you know, even if they have a primary, they're not going to be part of this process.
I'll defer to your expertise on that.
I mean, this is really just going to be a ballot given to an unaffiliated voter. Then
correct.
It's only going to have the major parties on it, and then they're going to choose one side or the other, essentially.
Correct.
So.
So if you're comfortable with that major is correct?
I mean, I think if we put major in there, then we could get rid of 9, 10, and 11, because we've already specified that this measure is affecting major, and then we don't have to worry about the minor.
You want to move?
I'm not sure I'm as confident about that. Can you explain a little more why those you think those last three lines would come out?
Because that's already, well, it's already true. Minor political parties don't have to allow unaffiliated voters to vote in their election. And as a practical matter, there's not going to be any way for an unaffiliated voter to vote in their election under this new process, because the only people who are appearing on the unaffiliated ballot are the two major parties. And the minor parties, if they wish to do a primary, it'll be a separate ballot going out to only the affiliated members of the party. I don't think it's a central part of the measure. In any event, I don't think it's a central part of the measure. But to the extent that it's not making any change, I don't think it's worth describing.
We agree.
I see that.
Want to move the change?
Sure. Do you want to move it? Or?
Sure. I will move the changes that appear on line 2, as well as lines 9 through 11 on the screen.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Would you like some other suggestions?
Sure.
What is now line 3? It's just a simple one. I just thought we'd change to cast a ballot to vote.
Sure.
Just to take a few words out. And then delete cast a ballot right before that.
I don't think that the whole combined ballot thing is necessary. I don't know how other people feel, but
that was another.
What your ballot looks like doesn't seem to be central. Plus, there's an op kind of an. They don't even, if it's not practicable, then they don't have to do it anyway. So
that's correct. I think it's getting a little into the weeds of what the clerk and recorders have to do from a technical standpoint. Yeah. Okay.
Start describing the voting systems and tabulation process.
Do you want to strike that? And so I would move those changes that appear on lines 4 through 7.
Three through seven.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, line 3 and lines 4. Starting on line 4 through line 7 and the semicolon.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you.
So the other change I would recommend is in the opt-out, if you elect to keep that, which we think can be removed, but if you do want to keep that, then I think it makes more sense to put the you have at the end of that, at the very end of the title now, you have in specified circumstances. We would ask that you start that clause with permitting a political party in limited circumstances, etc., and then deleting the last three words of that clause.
In a sentence, what are the limited circumstances? Just summarized.
Sure, so the measure requires that 75% of the state central committee vote to choose this method rather than conducting a primary with unaffiliated voters.
For all
elections of the party except the president. Well, that's measure 99.
I think I'm a little uncomfortable using the word limited. I think it has a connotation with it in terms of very restrictive, and I think opinions may differ as to whether those requirements, how restrictive they are, and I'd be more comfortable to say in certain circumstances.
Okay.
Our concern in that, in changing specified to limited, was that, to Ms. Stegart's point, we don't want voters to misconstrue the measure as it's a simple choice. They can pick one or the other just as easily, and that you might have what I would call the closed process. We think it's important that voters know that it does take a affirmative vote and 75% of the vote. Obviously, we don't necessarily think that the number has to be in the title, but I think it's important for voters to know that it is a limited circumstance where the parties would elect to use this option.
You said the number does not need to be in the title. Is that what you?
I don't think so.
Okay.
And I'm not in a position to judge as to how some people may think that that's not limited enough. And so I just don't want to go there in terms of having a word that there's an inference one way or the other that perhaps it is restrictive, others may not think. And so I think that to say it's in certain circumstances doesn't have any sort of inference one way or the other. In terms of the probabilities, I don't know, of it actually happening.
Sure.
So. You guys feel strongly one way or the other?
No, I'm fine with it the way it is. I'm actually fine with the language the way it is, but I would even be okay with saying something like permitting a political party to opt out of a primary and select all its candidates. I don't know if that more clearly explains what's happening. I think this explains it too. I'm not sure that voters know exactly what that could be.
My one concern I have with the adding that language there in certain circumstances is it almost makes it sound like it could choose sometimes to select them by assembly and sometimes instead of primary. But my understanding from the draft is that once they make this election, they stay with that for a period of time.
It would be for that next election, but they certainly could switch back after that election.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I think it's fine the way it is. I mean, we get to it in the end instead of by primary election.
I think I'm comfortable with the language the way it is.
All right. Do you want to move those final?
Yeah, can I make one other suggestion? If you're rejecting the limited circumstances language, I may be over-lawyering it, but to switch certain to specific.
Yeah, that's what we had down below, and you made us.
Okay. We like it earlier.
Oh. Okay. Do you want specific or specified?
Specific.
Okay. So I'm fine with changing certain to specific. So I would move the changes as they appear on lines 4, 5, and 6.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So the way it reads now is a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes concerning the process of selecting candidates representing major political parties on a general election ballot and in connection therewith allowing an unaffiliated elector to vote in the primary election of a major political party without declaring an affiliation with that political party and permitting a political party in specific circumstances to select all of its candidates by assembly or convention instead of by primary election.
I would move the title for proposed initiative 2015-16, number 98, as it appears on the screen.
Second.
All those in favor? Aye. All right, that takes us to proposed initiative 2015-2016, number 99. And if you can just introduce yourself again and your proponents, and then tell us the difference between 98 and 99.
Good afternoon. Jason Dunn with Brownstein, Hyatt, Farber, Schreck, on behalf of proponents Kelly Bruff and Joe Blake. And the only difference is that we have, or the only substantive difference, I guess, is that we've included the presidential primary, reinstating that in Colorado, and including that in the list of elections that can be covered by the changes made through the allowing unaffiliated voters to vote in primaries.
Huh. Is there anyone here who wishes to speak on this measure? Any questions from the board on the jurisdiction issue?
Based on our discussion on number 98, I'm a little concerned about single subject with this measure, because you're talking about a presidential primary and you're talking about a selection of candidates for a general election ballot. And I'm not sure I see the necessary connection between the two.
So with regard to the presidential primary, I would say this. The measure 98 affects, as does 99, elections at all levels. So it affects the federal races, U.S. Senate and congressional races. It affects statewide races, legislative races, all the way down to county races. I don't think there's any municipalities that use partisan elections. But all this simply does is add in the presidential race to those list of races that are covered by the measure. Now, admittedly, we don't have a presidential primary now, so it does reinstate that. But I think if you're going to say a measure that affects a presidential primary is a separate subject, then arguably so would the fact that it covers a county election and statewide races and federal races. Those would each have to be separate subjects. So I think it's sort of all or nothing with those. Either the races are not material to the measure as to which are covered in terms of separate subjects, or they're all a single subject. We would obviously argue that they all are a single subject.
But the presidential primary is a preference. It's electing delegates to the national convention. It's not selecting a candidate to appear on the general election ballot in Colorado. Isn't that correct?
That's true.
And so it's really a different process.
Sure. Yeah, I think what appears on the ballot to the voters, first of all, is the candidate, not the electors. In fact, I'm not sure most voters would know that when they're voting in a presidential primary for a candidate, that they are actually voting for electors, not the candidate, him or herself. So I think that's a technical distinction that's not material in distinguishing between the presidential primary and a county commissioner primary.
Yeah, I mean, the same is true for presidential election. So.
That's true. That's what you just said.
Yeah, same problem. I mean, I kind of have some of the same issues, just because you're starting to get into a question where people can like some parts of it and not other parts of it, which is, sort of where some of the case law goes, right? You don't want voters to be surprised by something because they like this part of the measure, but they didn't know about these other parts. And I could certainly see people who like having a primary, don't like the idea of being able to shut down a primary. So now we got those couple competing things. And then there are some people who love the caucus, and some people who hate the caucus, and it could be the same person that, is.
Yeah, but I think that's that'd be analogous to saying, well, there's some people who think that unaffiliated voters should not be able to vote in county commissioner races because those are local races, but support the idea for U.S. Senate races because they get more attention and more people know and care about it. You could go down sort of that slippery slope of people liking one part of a measure and not another. Yeah. I think the point here is that it affects all races in Colorado in the primary the same, and that we are just adding the presidential race to that laundry list of races in Colorado in primary elections.
Yeah. And so I don't necessarily think it's two subjects, and I try to be very, I think I've said that a number of times, very cognizant of the fact that I know a lot about election law, and it would lead me to believe there's always two subjects in anything everybody brings, because to me it's, you know, a little overly complicated. But putting that aside, I think that, you know, this contains a single subject in that we're dealing with, you know, that selection of a candidate, whether that's by electing somebody to go to the, electing a delegate, or whether that's putting somebody on the ballot, it's still the selection of a candidate. I'm again not sure it's really about primary elections, but I would agree that the whole thing is about selecting candidates. I'm not sure if you said definitively if that leaves it to him. But.
Well, I think at this point, I think you're talking two different processes for two different purposes. The presidential primary occurs at a different point in time. It elects delegates to a national convention. To me, it's totally distinct and separate from primary elections that are conducted for whether it's county officials, municipal officials, or state officials, which occur now in, what, June, I think? And so to me, I don't see a necessary connection. I see two purposes. I'm afraid of the log rolling, that there's no connection between allowing unaffiliated voters to vote in a primary for the selection of candidates for the general election versus a presidential preference primary. I just think that you have two distinct purposes, and because there isn't that necessary and proper connection, I don't believe that there's a single subject.
I would make two comments, maybe just for Mr. Roper's ears. number one, on the timing, of course, you could have the primary. It does require the presidential primary be in March, or no later than the third week of March, but and certainly the other primaries, in theory, could be on that same day. So it doesn't have to be different dates. I think that's more of a technical distinction. But I think the way to look at this is the flip side. You know, assume for a moment we had a presidential primary already in Colorado, and this measure was coming forward simply to do essentially everything number 98 does. Or look at it that way. If 98 had also included in the list of all the races covered, included presidential primaries, because we had a presidential primary, you know, would you be questioning whether that was a separate subject because it happened to also impact the presidential primary that was already in existence?
See, to me, part of the problem is that the presidential primary does not place a candidate on the general election ballot in Colorado. You vote for delegate. It's sending delegates to a national convention who they support may or may not be the ultimate candidate for that party that appears on a general election ballot. And so to me, it's a totally different process. And so I just don't equate them. They have different purposes, and I don't see the connection. And I respectfully disagree.
So I don't have the expertise of Suzanne or Sharon, and wish I could defer to them, but isn't looking that way. I think I'm inclined in looking through this and reviewing some of the case law on what constitutes a single subject rule. I think I am inclined to consider this to be two separate subjects with the addition in 99 of the presidential primary.
One of you two want to make a motion?
All right. Then I would move that the title board find that proposed initiative 2015-16 number 99 does not constitute a single subject, and that we not set a title for the measure.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. So that passes 2-1, and the board does not have jurisdiction to set title on proposed initiative 99. And that brings our agenda to a close. The time is 12:25, and we are adjourned.
Thank you all.
Thanks.